indicated, the title of my sermonette is indeed Waiting is Hard. And I've said this before, but when I speak, I tend to be speaking about something that I struggle with, something that is not one of my inherent strengths, something I need to work on. And I'm certain God would agree with that. So I don't want anyone to ever get the sense that I'm lecturing to you as though something you should do because I'm really good at it, because I am not, and working on it is something we need to do. So waiting is something that we all do, where maybe you're personally good at yourself, but we all do this in our lives. We wait for maybe the dentist appointment. I think you're shocked when you find out it's 6 months away then. We wait for school to end, looking to the left here in the room, and we also wait for school to begin, not with the same level of enthusiasm. Perhaps for a new job, for health to improve, and the list obviously goes on for many of us personally. And for those of us called by God, we know that we are waiting for something truly spectacular, for the return of Jesus Christ and the establishment of the kingdom. This is something indeed worth waiting for. But still, in our human existence, waiting can be very, very challenging. And on my personal level, as I referenced earlier, in my work life, the company that I serve as chief executive officer has been, for a time, struggling with major contract issues, as well as the challenge of coming out of COVID, and this was something that many employers were finding, was finding enough qualified employees who were willing to work in addition to come to the office. And this has severely cut into our revenue base, which is troubling. Everywhere and every way we turn, it seems in recent months, we face challenges that are, to a degree for us, unprecedented. And this is, of course, little solace to my employees, to those of us who look to me for inherent strength in the situation, a sense of the future, and just an out-and-out courage that they can kind of grab onto and feel that it's going to happen, it's going to be worth it. And so I'm always mindful of that in all that I do. And while we wait for something to turn around and work towards something that that we could say is turning around. And we know, those of us, again, that are followers of Jesus Christ, understand that there's more at play than just what we can do. That is something we must do, but we also must rely on God. There was a radio talk show, a radio show in on the Canadian networks, Canadian Broadcasting, years ago. And perhaps our Canadian brethren will get a chuckle and recall. It was a gentleman named Tom King, and he had two additional hosts that would be on the program with him. And their famous tagline as they would sign off on their broadcast each week was the following: stay calm, wait, be brave, and wait for signs. And that was just something that they said all the time. And I've seen it pop up in some books that I love to read. And so it just struck me, and I had to find out, where was that from? This is what we as people whom God has called to him are to do, but communicated very differently. We are to trust in God, understand that trials will come our way, and we are to rejoice in those trials as well as successes, trust God, and work for the return of Jesus Christ and the establishment of the kingdom. So we're not just waiting for signs, we need to be active. We're to have courage in the face of trials as we wait. And wait seems very passive to me. So we're doing more than waiting. We're praying. We're doing what, using the talents that God has imbued to each of us. But we're also waiting. And I'll explain that in a moment here. But we are to have courage in the face of the trials, in the face of illness, death, and setbacks. Could we have the courage of Daniel and his friends in their experiences with Nebuchadnezzar? Think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they face the inferno of Nebuchadnezzar's furnace. Would we have had that courage to just understand that, well, I'm not going to run away, but we're going to wait. We're going to wait for God and his will in this situation. Let's consider the words of Isaiah, my favorite book, one of my favorite books, in chapter 40. And we're going to read together verse 31. Again, book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah is telling us that those who wait on the Lord will mount up with wings like eagles. That's quite an image. I love that imagery. And be clear, waiting on the Lord is not just about waiting for the return of Jesus Christ, although that is the paramount. That's the pinnacle. It's also to trust in God throughout our challenges, no matter what may come. Hard to do, I know, as humans, as carnal beings, hard to do. But this is what we do as Christians in practice and in obedience to God, not just in the name of Christian. It's what we must do. We demonstrate that, just as God says, you demonstrate our love for him by obeying him. That's one of the ways we obey. We trust in him. Some of us may be old enough to recall the 1939 poster that the people in the War Office in England put out in advance of the Blitz, which was coming. And many of you may think of these words, keep calm and carry on. Ironically, I found this very interesting, that it really didn't get distributed that much, although they printed 2.5 million copies of this poster. But it's gotten so much more play in recent years. And you go into a bookstore or a coffee shop and you'll see the little knickknacks or a notebook or something with keep calm and carry on with the crown. You know, it became a thing, but only since about the year 2000, when a little bookstore in the United Kingdom kind of picked up on it. I don't know if there's rights to that saying that they needed to get, but they started using it, and then all of a sudden started showing up in Starbucks and any other independent shop around the world. But the fact that it was as old as 1939 really surprised me. I'm sure that at one point the Queen, I hope, got a chuckle out of that, because she certainly lived through the Blitz and all that was going on. But not showing emotion during that time, keeping calm and carrying on, it's not just about not showing the emotion, the fear, the impatience. It's being calm in the face of adversity, whatever we face. And for Christians, waiting for God is the point. And again, I have a further point to make in a bit here when I say waiting for God. We're going to turn to Psalms 37, and we're going to read verse 7 together, and then we're going to read verse 9 in a second after that. But Psalms 37, verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. And then continuing on, dropping down to verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. So again, the message is very clear. We're waiting on God and his time. Sometime during the challenges that we face, we can find ourselves wondering, why me? I think that's pretty standard as human beings, not unusual. What about that person? You know, maybe we add to the thought, well, they're not doing as much as I think I'm doing, or working as hard as I'm working. Why are they getting the advantage? They may appear to be thriving in the world today, and that's not our business. As tempting as it sometimes is, it's not for us to weigh in as to whether they deserve the prosperity or the success or the seeming lack of challenges that they're facing at that point in time. We don't know what someone faces. Maybe what's obvious on the outside is not happening on the inside for them. We just don't know. And again, it's not our business. But we're going to turn, we're going to look to the New Testament now for some scriptural guidance. And we're going to read together in James 1 and verse 12. So again, James 1, verse 12, and this is under the banner of loving God under trials. So can't get more clear than that. So verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So enduring temptation is much the same as waiting for God. God strengthens us and gives us the capacity to overcome. Being strong and resolute is not easy. I think we know that. Everyone has experienced this. When we have families depending on us, coworkers, as I mentioned earlier, communities, the church organization itself. But what's the alternative? Worrying is a hobby that I've nearly perfected. And as Shelley, my wife, points out, it's not going to get me any further down the road, make me any more successful or any less healthy or any more healthy. But it's a trait that I learned growing up in our family as a kid. I watched my parents fret about money, health, and I recall being terrified when my mom needed thyroid surgery back in the late 1960s. The stiff upper lip was not the way of my family or my extended family, quite frankly. Terror and panic seemed to be a little bit more the norm, and I think there might be some cultural elements there too from what I saw in my really extended family. But I know that I must overcome the world as Jesus showed us. As a high school student, I learned that buying into the panic immediately before a test, that panic in the classroom that you would hear, would not work for me. I learned that, and I learned it almost, you know, as a visceral kind of thing, something that I just felt. So I would leave the classroom, and I would just wait for a moment, follow the teacher back into the room when he or she arrived, when all was calm. Keep calm and carry on. I was able to do that. This allowed me to be grounded, not in panic, but in preparation. And now I understand that every test was more than a test. It was a challenge and an opportunity to grow. In Romans 12 and in verse 12, we read how we must behave as a Christian. So again, we're going to read Romans 12 and verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer. This is how we wait on God most effectively and can make it through the trials and challenges we face. Success is not final, and failure is not fatal, I'll add, in most cases. What counts, what matters, is continuing to be courageous and continuing on. That is what counts. That's a quote modified a little at the end there, attributed to Winston Churchill in 1946, so well after the war had ended and he had been through the challenge of leading a nation. And he was very clear at one point that the country was waiting for God in his good time to act. And that's something that our leaders today have no idea, no comprehension of. But waiting for God in his good time to establish the kingdom and to bring us to where we need to be, the promise of being a Christian called by God, that's our job. So new way to think about waiting.